Elevate 150 Financial Checkups at Notre Dame Federal Credit Union. Here's how it works. Go online and schedule a 30-minute phone call. They'll guide you through your credit report to find ways to improve your financial health. Then they'll send $150 in your name to Redeemer Radio. For information, visit NotreDameFCU.com/elevate. You already share our values. Why not share in our benefits? Notre Dame FCU.
Church Life Today is a production of Spoke Street Media and the McGrath Institute for Church Life at the University of Notre Dame, and is brought to you in part by Notre Dame Federal Credit Union and our listeners.
The Christian life is a life of creativity. The creativity to receive the good news of Jesus Christ and allow Him to transform every dimension of who you are, every aspect of how you live, wherever you find yourself in life. That's the theory. But how does this happen in practice? Most especially, how does this happen in the business world, in the professions, in the life of work, where it can be especially challenging to integrate faith into daily practice and might, in fact, lead to loneliness and longing before it yields a sense of communion and fulfillment? Young Catholic Professionals was launched in 2010 to help young adult Catholics meet these challenges, to help lead one another into a more holistic and vibrant life of faith, especially in consideration of their work and careers. Jennifer Baugh, the founder and executive director of Young Catholic Professionals, joins me today to talk about the restlessness and desire of Catholics in their 20s and 30s, the communities and mentoring that her organization establishes to support and empower these young adults, and the ways in which this service is ultimately ordered to the life of the church, an engagement in local parishes. As for me, I'm Leonard DiLorenzo. This is Church Life Today, a production of the McGrath Institute for Church Life and the Spoke Street Media Network. I'm glad you're here. Jennifer, welcome to the show.
Thanks so much.
So Jennifer, it's 2010. You're several years out of college where you studied business. You've worked for a year for one investment firm and another year at Merrill Lynch. You've just finished an MBA at Texas A&M, and you're preparing to start a new role as senior consultant in corporate finance at FTI Consulting. In brief, I think it's fair to say you're well on your way to building a successful career in corporate America. And yet, you sensed a growing conviction to start something new. What was going on with you?
The Holy Spirit was moving, Lenny. So, you know, I think like many young people in their, you know, early 20s, there's a lot of soul searching that's taking place. You know, who am I? What am I supposed to do with my life? And, you know, thankfully, you know, my mom really had planted seeds of faith, even though, you know, I said that my faith at the time was surface level, at least the seeds were there. And so I think, you know, it was really a time of silence. You mentioned I was in between grad school and starting this consulting job. And it was really the first time that I didn't have something pending, some big work thing, some big exam. And I really had the time to stop and sort of reflect. And of course, that's a time where God can speak to us. He's always speaking to us, but where we maybe can listen. And so I think it was through that silence and through that sort of moment of where I could, you know, ponder the meaning of my life, that I realized that my faith was very surface level, that you know, even though I called myself Catholic, it wasn't something that I embraced, it wasn't something I owned, and it certainly wasn't my identity. And so I call that a turning point in my life. It was what I call a quarter-life crisis. And in a sense, it was the best moment because it was an awakening. It was a real awakening and the beginning of something new. So I really just began to implore God to help me know Him and to point me in the right direction and teach me how to pray. And that led to, you know, just an entirely different path for my life. I won't go into the full detail, but unless you want me to, but ended up, you know, really falling in love with our faith, falling in love with our church, the saints, the tradition, the catechism, mass, and I just couldn't get enough. And that became an incredible journey to want to share my faith.
I want to hear about what came from that and what you started to build. But first, I want to pause on something that you said there. You said, for the first time, I didn't have something pending. And I think all of us, as you put language to that, we can relate to that. And I think especially for people in young adulthood who have been in school from one thing to the other, been on a track, whether it's a track they pursued or somebody else has given them, even through college, for those who go to college or begin, you know, right into the working world, there's something next to do, something that you're waiting for, something that probably you're anxious about or preoccupied with. I mean, it's clearly for you, it was important to have that period where there wasn't something immediately pending. How unusual is that? And how much do you think we, especially for young adults, have to recapture something like that, which isn't necessarily going to be there naturally for any of us?
I think it's extremely rare, and I thank God for it. And I think you're exactly right. I think we almost have to sort of carve it out, even though it's not really, in a sense, endorsed by the world or something that's, you know, commonplace. I think we do have to craft that for ourselves, whether it's a silent retreat that we can go on. My husband did that in between jobs. He prioritized that and, you know, made time for it, because it's, you know, we have to do it when we have these big shifts in our life. And also just in general, I know several people who go on an annual retreat to kind of carve out that time for silence. I think we're always going to have something next. You know, it's just the way life is now. It's just, we're all extremely busy. You know, we have so many things going on. It's just sort of the nature of the world we live in. But we as people, I think, who care about our faith and who want to do something wonderful for God, have to carve out that time to remind ourselves who we are. You know, in a sense, it's kind of recapturing our roots, and also to make space to hear God and to sort of, I've heard this expression many times. I think it maybe was like Fulton Sheen who said it, but it's almost like there are radio waves and God's constantly, you know, channeling to us, but we might be tuning into the wrong channel. Mm. And so we have to recalibrate. So I would say, Lenny, it's extremely important that we carve that out. Maybe it's not as extensive as mine was, which was sort of 8 months off, but I even if you can take a long weekend, it's critical.
Yeah. So part of what emerged from this period of in-between that you were in and this time of listening and recalibration, as you said, was clearly the Young Catholic Professionals nonprofit organization that you started. But you started, first of all, I think, by talking to other people who at that point were about your age, who were also, you know, young adults in the professions involved or beginning in their work and their careers. What did you hear from these other young adults that you were talking to about their needs, their desires, where they were and what they were looking for?
Absolutely. At the time I was talking to a full spectrum of people in Dallas. It was really fascinating. You know, everyone from the gym in my apartment complex to people I was meeting at restaurants, you know, going out. Dallas is a really vibrant place. To people I was meeting at young adult events and Catholic events in the city, and really kind of just asking people where they were at and getting a sense of, you know, a restlessness, a general restlessness from the person going to the church event to the person at the gym. You know, when you're in your 20s, it's a restless time. And I think it's a good restlessness. You know, we're kind of trying to figure out what we're supposed to be doing, who we are. But the problem is that, you know, if we're not looking for guidance in the right place, that restlessness can be channeled into, you know, groups that are not necessarily good for us, right? And so, you know, at least the people that are at the church events are sort of starting in the right place, but even they're looking for more. Let me know if
we're fine with the dog. Everybody, we're good with the dog, right? Everybody says we're fine. Yeah.
But, you know, I think some of the common themes were really looking for practical advice. Mm. People were looking for practical advice. I mean, they have real questions like, how do I know if I'm in the right spot career-wise? Who am I supposed to marry? And is this person the right fit for me? You know, what am I good at? What am I supposed to do? Where am I supposed to be living? How do I get the support that I need? You know, real tangible things people are looking for. And so that's kind of what got the light bulb, you know, turned on in my head is that, yes, our Catholic faith has so much to offer. You know, we have incredible richness from the saints, from the catechism, but we need this translation into real everyday life. And you don't always hear that in homilies. You know, you don't always hear that in sort of church programs, is that translation of what does it mean to be a Catholic in the world, but not of the world. And so that's what I started to have on my heart as, you know, why don't we just provide this community that provides real life support? And it was that simple.
Oh, and I wonder even, you know, I think you're totally right when we say, when you say that we don't always hear this in homilies, we're not always getting it necessarily from what's being given at the parish. And maybe in some ways we're not supposed to.
Maybe that's the reflex in us is to want to just receive it.
And maybe your insight is, well, if we want this as Catholics to exercise our own baptismal calling, we have to sort of create this, not just for ourselves, but for one another, right?
I think so. I think so. And, you know, so often we look for things to be given to us. Yeah. But, you know, I think God uses us as his instruments. You know, Mother Angelica said, you know, God has no one else but you. Get off your bottoms and go out there and change this pagan world. And so, you know, I think that's our calling. We're supposed to receive so many graces from the sacraments, you know, the sort of the message from the priest, the summons, but then we go out and we translate it. And so I think groups like YCP help us with sort of that connection from, you know, church on Sunday to the office.
This is Leonard DiLorenzo. You're listening to Church Life Today on the Spoke Street Media Network. My guest is Jennifer Baugh, founder and executive director of Young Catholic Professionals, a nationwide nonprofit organization that brings together professionals in their 20s and 30s into a community of belonging, support, and encouragement to empower and equip them to live their Catholic faith through everyday work. You can find them online at youngcatholicprofessionals.org. So, this idea of creating the spaces for one another and the support for one another to make that act of translation, as you've called it, which I love, the translation of faith into this world, this life, our communities. The basic structure, as I understand it, of Young Catholic Professionals then was to build local chapters, local communities of the support and encouragement and faith integration for young adults, especially in the professions, led by these young adults, especially in the professions, and supported by your national office. Can you tell us about a little bit more about that structure, what this looks like for the young adults that you're reaching, and maybe where are these people? Like, where are you with these chapters?
Yeah, I mean, it's really a neat structure, and it allows us to, in a sense, be sort of this one body, many parts. You know, we're one movement, one apostolate, but we do operate through this chapter model, which allows us to kind of have this reach more deeply into these local cities. So, you know, we started just in Dallas in 2010, as I mentioned, but then we had people in different cities saying, you know, I hear about what you're doing. I want this in my city. So we decided to become this sort of national organization and launch chapters using all that we'd learned in Dallas. So we created this model that could then be scaled across the country. And the reason that that was kind of so successful for us is, you know, in a sense, you didn't have to reinvent the wheel each time. We had kind of this template so that young adults could do this in their spare time as volunteers and spend less time figuring out all the minutiae, all the administration, and more time actually reaching out and kind of ministering and witnessing to their peers. And so it's been a really effective system for us. We have now 28 chapters across the country, and they're, you know, very diverse. You know, we have a chapter in Omaha, Nebraska, and we have a chapter in Los Angeles or Chicago. So very different cities, but there's a lot of similarities. And, you know, and our model is flexible enough that, you know, we can sort of customize for the flavor of each local city. So, I mean, there's really nothing more inspiring than to see these young people rise up and say, I care about sharing my faith with my peers, and I want to do this in my spare time. I mean, it's unbelievable. I'm thinking right now of Casey Brown, who is the president of YCP Philadelphia. You know, in her day job, she's a consultant at Ernst & Young. And then, you know, outside of that, she works on building up this ministry and is really changing lives in Philadelphia. So it's really neat. We've seen in our, you know, time here, you know, running this ministry, that we have people who are part of YCP in one city, and then their jobs take them to another city for work. And then they can immediately plug in to this new city and have that feeling of community and connectedness, which is awesome. The other thing I'll just say quickly about the model is that because we have a structure in place, it can survive beyond the people that come and go. Mm-hmm. And I think that that was really essential. You know, we found that there are many young adult groups that are very vibrant in different cities, but oftentimes they can be tied to a dynamic person. And when that person moves on, the ministry can dissolve. And so we've provided this structure so that it, in a sense, it can live on beyond the people that are shepherding it at the time.
Mm. So as you said, you're in 28 cities currently. Are there plans currently for expansion from there? Are there other cities that are people in other cities that are looking to start this up where they are?
Yeah. We actually have a pretty big goal to be in 50 cities by the end of 2024.
Wow. So, yeah.
You know, it's just that we feel this real calling, you know, given the backdrop of the world today, mm-hmm. you know, given what young people need, you know, I mean, there are statistics about how many people have left their job in recent years,
yeah.
how many people in this age group are feeling depression, anxiety, loneliness, and how many people have actually relocated due to the pandemic and due to jobs. And so there is this sort of great unrest and this great loneliness. And so we feel this calling to kind of provide that support and that community and that belonging. You know, the other thing to mention is that we really do work in cooperation with local parishes, with local dioceses. The idea is not for YCP to be this community that sort of we you know, are self-satisfied and we don't reach out. Actually, our goal is to sort of bring in these fallen away Catholics, help them come alive in their faith and see their calling to live their faith in their professions at work, and then really charge them to go back into their parishes and be ambassadors, be involved, be engaged. YCP is really a bridge in that sense. You know, we're not looking to just sort of keep people forever. We want people to move on.
Mm. That's so fresh and refreshing. It seems so often that there's a temptation in the ministries that are started and various what might start as apostolates become something else, which is to become self-contained, self-generated, and self-generating. And this insight that you're bringing forward, this commitment, just seems so crucial to me that it's not a renegade subsect of the church. It's actually an integration back into where the church is in the local parish, connected to the local church of the diocese, because really there's no other way to be Catholic except part of this body. So I find this so refreshing to hear that, like this as a clear commitment of the organization to be in living a dynamic relationship with the local parishes.
Totally. And it's actually so rewarding for us when we hear these stories. I'll just give you one example.
Please.
Of Rachel, who was on the leadership team in Omaha. And, you know, she wasn't kind of going to the Bible studies at her church and things at the time, and sort of needed YCP as that catalyst to kind of remind her that she had to engage in her parish. And so flash forward to today, she started a mom's group at her parish because there was a great need. There was nothing there for mothers at her parish. And she wrote to us and said, if it wasn't for YCP and sort of that kind of summons, that challenge to engage more deeply in my parish, as well as the tools and the confidence to do so, I wouldn't have reached out to my pastor to start this mom's group. So we just hear these stories over and over again. And I think so much of it is confidence, and it's confidence that comes, yes, from what we share, from the speakers, from our mentors, from our programming, but it's also just the confidence in knowing that you're not alone, that this is your calling as a young Catholic in the world, and there are other people out there doing it. And so I think that confidence piece is a big one.
Yeah. I mean, I think we could all sense that this would be good for any young adult Catholic. Your particular focus, though I imagine not your exclusive focus, but your particular focus is on those who are involved in the professions, who are involved in the working world. As you pay attention on the other side of this to what's going on in the business world these days, in the past couple of years or more recently, what have you been noticing? What kind of trends are you seeing develop? Are there things that you're tracking and that you're hearing from people?
Yeah, I mean, I just think the shift in workplace expectations, you know, from this hybrid working culture, you know, remote, sometimes in person, you know, just a lot of the shift in expectations, as well as, you know, people are not necessarily working in the traditional setting anymore. Some might have multiple jobs that they're piecing together. That's very common now. And so we're seeing a sort of a shift in what we're having to share with our young professionals. It's not, you know, sort of the standard, you know, executive speaker who's been at his job for 20 years. I think it's helpful when we have those speakers who talk about sort of the fact that their career journey was not a perfect stepladder, that it was actually kind of quite all over the place, but in a sense, you know, that was still part of God's plan for their life. So I think that's really helpful. We had a speaker once who also talked about this concept of work-life balance that we hear about. He said that that's out the window now, and that what we should be seeking is work-life equilibrium. And so what that means is it actually requires extra prayer and extra discernment, because it's, you know, sort of the traditional, you know, stepping away at 5 or 6 p.m. and then really not clocking back in. That's just not normal. But we still do need that time to, as we talked about before, carving away that silence and that time for prayer, going to mass, you know, praying a rosary daily. You know, we still need to carve out that time. And so I think it's just so helpful when we have those type of speakers who understand the reality of work today, but then can give us advice that is in keeping with our Catholic faith and our calling.
Have you found notable conflicts or tensions that come up for people, let's say especially Catholic professionals, that they face in their life at work because of their faith, or in their personal life because of their work? Are there particular things, in other words, for the Catholic professionals that are coming up?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think, you know, it's tough right now when you see the culture. It's really championing, in a sense, kind of tolerance, championing some of those kind of practices that are very counter to our Catholic faith. We all know what we're talking about here. And I think that's tough for young people to know, do I stay in this workplace and I'm sort of a lightning rod, but I'm here to be that witness to the Catholic faith and to, you know, be that witness to truth? Or is it time for me to shift and find another work setting that is more in line with my Catholic values? And so I think that's a constant question that comes up, and it's tough because there's no correct answer. I think that it really depends on what God is calling that person to. We do need strong Catholics in the corporate world. I mean, we do need those witnesses to the faith. At the same time, I think there is a line where, you know, if you're in a sense changing who you are and compromising to fit in with your environment at the expense of your faith, then it is time for you to examine if you're in the right spot. Yeah. So this is a constant question that's coming up right now. And that's why I'm so thankful we have mentors, a mentorship program, because you can't always ask these type of questions to a mentor at your work. I mean, obviously it's not completely biased or unbiased, excuse me.
Right.
But through our mentorship program with YCP, you can ask these types of questions to someone at least who really cares about you, you know?
Yeah. And to go back to what you were saying before on this sort of art of translation of the translation of faith into now the everyday life, when you brought up tolerance, the other option is not necessarily intolerance. Like that binary is placed on us, right? So the translation is also an act of creativity to kind of get outside of that bind of tolerance or intolerance, and to the gospel witness there is actually something else and something fuller and richer. But it takes real creativity to discover that. And I love what you're saying. It takes mentors and a supportive community to find the ways of doing that.
Definitely. I think something else that we do that's really helpful is we really focus a lot on the virtues. Mm. So we have a panel discussion program on the virtues. So this would be, for example, you know, how to practice humility in the workplace, how to grow in prudence. Yep. And, you know, the reason that this is so helpful is it's really foundational. You know, it's not like we talk about these hot button issues. No, we're actually starting at the beginning, at the virtues. And, you know, that is, you know, in a way, it almost helps us speak to people, you know, at a more of a starting place. Whereas when we're kind of engaging in these culture conversations, we're sort of missing the foundation, which is, you know, sort of that each person has dignity, is called to greatness, and that people really, you know, have these things written on their hearts. It's just they need someone to help draw them out. So I think that's really, really something helpful that we do is focusing on the virtues. Mm.
This is Leonard DiLorenzo. You're listening to Church Life Today on the Spoke Street Media Network. My guest, Jennifer Baugh, founder and executive director of Young Catholic Professionals. You can find them online at youngcatholicprofessionals.org. Now, we talked a bit about these local chapters and the, you know, real local communities that are built up for support, encouragement, empowerment, education, integration, all of these things. But you also have the opportunity now and again to bring people together from across these chapters, across the country. And one of the ways you do this, I know, is through your annual conference. Tell us a bit about the annual conference and what that affords, not just for your organization, but for the members who otherwise are spending their time in their local communities.
It really is an incredible opportunity to see that the Catholic faith is alive and well. I mean, you know, the vibrance at this event, you know, the conference we had this year had almost 600 people, which was wonderful. And, you know, you're really getting a picture of the United States. So, you know, people from Phoenix, from Boston, you know, Austin, Texas, the whole country. We're coming together. We have beautiful masses every single day. We also have a lot of time for fun. So we have, you know, happy hours, networking, and then we have these incredible speakers. So we start on a Friday with a sort of a more of a professional speaker. So this would be a Catholic executive. This past year, we had Rob Hayes, who's the CEO of Ashford, and just gave us a phenomenal speech on really how we can embrace God's will in our life in the workplace. Mm. You know, then we have typically a religious the next day who speaks to us. So we had this time in Nashville, Dominican, who talked about how embracing God's will gives us lasting joy, not the kind of the, you know, transitory joy that the world talks about, but real joy. We have time for adoration. And then on Saturday afternoon, we do a small group breakout where we have one mentor who facilitates a dynamic conversation with a group of about five other young Catholics. And so it's just a really neat time to kind of dialogue a little bit more, to talk about real life work situations, and to, you know, get the advice of an experienced Catholic. You know, we have a gala where you get to dance and, you know, have an incredible party. And then you have this final summons to kind of go forth into the world. So it's really inspiring. The feedback we got was just over the top this year, that it's basically was a transformational experience for people. And people end up making friends that they look forward to seeing each year from across the country. Some people actually end up meeting up with these people from the conference at our chapter launches during the year.
Yeah.
Which is so cool. So I think the community building and the formation is just extraordinary.
Well, it sounds to me it's a way to bring people together from the chapters, but it might also be a good way to kind of jumpstart in interest and investment. Maybe there's people who are thinking about doing something like this, and this is a way to see everything all at once, right?
Yeah. Absolutely. That's a great point.
And this takes place late spring, usually early summer.
Yes, we were doing it in the fall, but we changed it up. And so now we're going to be doing it at late spring. So we already have our dates for 2023, April 21st, back in Dallas. And the theme is The Little Way by St. Therese.
Love it.
And embrace, you know, the small things and use that as a way to transform our workplace and our lives.
Yeah. Well, speaking of some kind of more national gathering, you and I met in person for the first time at Benedictine College for their annual symposium on transforming culture. We were both speakers at this, but we didn't get to hear each other speak because we were speaking at the same time in different venues. So I'm going to use this opportunity, if you don't mind, to catch up on what I missed from you. You gave
Absolutely.
You were speaking in a session with the title, what was it? Stopping the Young Adult Death Cycle. But that wasn't the title of your talk. Your talk, that I think comes from Pete Burak. But the title of your talk was We Belong to One Another. Tell us what, if you can catch me up, give me the heart of it. And everybody else here who almost certainly nobody who's listening was able to be there either. Maybe a few, but give us the heart of what you were hoping to communicate there.
Definitely. So I actually pulled one of my favorite quotes from Mother Teresa. She says, if we've lost our peace, it's because we've forgotten that we belong to one another. Mm. And so I actually broke that into three parts. We've lost our peace, we've forgotten, and we belong to one another. And I really, for the we have lost our peace, you know, really kind of zeroed in on the situation today of this great sort of loneliness, this restlessness, this lack of kind of identity that young people are struggling with today. And, you know, really, you know, drawing that from the fact that people are wanting to grow in faith and really not knowing how and kind of struggling with this disconnect from who they are. You know, next, we have forgotten. You know, I think very simply what people need is oftentimes a reminder, a simple reminder of who they are. And many times when I explain YCP, I share that it's really nothing revolutionary that we're doing, but it's really just offering someone a simple reminder that they're loved, that they're called to something more, you know, that their life has great value and that they can be agents of change in this world. So simple reminder. And then lastly, that we belong to one another. You know, I think that that's something that we really need to remember as Catholics, is that we're part of this family. You know, you and I are family members because we're part of this great Catholic heritage. And that comes with a responsibility to love and care for one another. And I think that that's what we're seeing in this community, is this real sense of belonging, that I want to support you in your life. You can support me, and together we can do something great for God. Mm. So that was the simple method.
I totally missed out. I should have just skipped my own talk and got to listen to that. That's better than anything I had to say, for sure. I love it. Well, maybe as we come to a close, can you give us a snapshot of what are your big hopes for young Catholic professionals for this particular apostolic service? As you're thinking in the next year or 5 years, what do you hope to see?
We really want to transform the culture. And, you know, I know that was the name of the symposium that you and I were at, and that's really what we're out there to do. We want to create modern day saints. You know, the world is sort of telling us that we can just sort of get by with mediocrity or even less than that. And we're sort of saying, no, we're called to something so much more. We're called to heaven. But the only way to get there is to really band together. I love this imagery from Cardinal Newman, where he says we're like links in a chain. Mm. And that's what we're looking to create, is these connections that can change the world. Because I know you, Lenny, our friendship can do something great for the world, you know, and by just helping people connect and remind each other of their calling and giving them tools and sort of this summons to make a difference, it really can happen. And it happens in the small ways in our everyday, ordinary circumstances at work, at home, and beyond.
Beautiful. Well, friends, if you are interested in learning more about young Catholic professionals, I hope that you'll visit their website, youngcatholicprofessionals.org. If you yourself are a young Catholic professional and are looking to connect to a chapter, there's a good chance there's a chapter in a city where you are, or there's one that can quickly, in short order, be there. So you can find out more information about that there. My guest today has been Jennifer Baugh, founder and executive director of Young Catholic Professionals. Jennifer, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much, Lenny.
And thanks to all of you for joining us on Church Life today.
Church Life Today is a production of Spoke Street Media and the McGrath Institute for Church Life at the University of Notre Dame, and is brought to you in part by Notre Dame FCU and our listeners.
This show is a production of the Spoke Street Media Podcast Network. For more great podcasts, visit SpokeStreet.com.
Ave Maria Press has been publishing Catholic books and resources for more than 150 years, and they are located right on the north side of the Notre Dame campus. Visit AveMariaPress.com for a wide selection of spirituality books, classic Catholic literature, and even books for families. You can also find podcasts and free downloadable Catholic content. Visit AveMariaPress.com and receive 25% off your order with code REDEEMER. Ave Maria Press, helping people to know, love, and serve God.